Welcome to episode 23 of the Noisecast, a show about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and more. On tonight's episode, we have Gonzo Ryder,
Shenanigans,
Kaiser Maghead,
been sober since Friday,
Benguin,
insert witty greeting here.
That's what you told me to wait for. That was the witty comment we had to wait for you for.
Yes.
Dumb fuck.
I forgot what it was before we started. So that's what you get.
And, oh God. And lastly, veto number 9.
We're going to see what we can't do about curing Kaiser's sobriety tonight.
I already got covered. I'm just waiting for this to be over.
Why wait?
That's how I feel about life.
Do it now!
Do it live!
Don't you have to say fuck first?
No. See, the way it works is you have to drink when I say fuck, but you can drink anytime you want.
Oh, okay. I can get behind that.
All right. Special thank you to everybody who is listening live and participating in the Ustream. As always, on Sunday nights at this time, around 8 o'clock Eastern, thenoisecast.com/listen will take you to our Ustream, where we broadcast 99% of the time. So, first up on tonight's topic list, of course, is the big news that happened today. AT&T put a bid in to buy out T-Mobile USA for a ridiculously large sum of money, which was, I believe, $39 billion in cash and stock options. Everybody was,
I think it was $25 billion.
Everything I saw said $39.
It was $39. It was a combination of stock options and cash, so maybe it was like
I'm looking at the Engadget update, and it says it looks like T-Mobile will be getting $25 billion in cash and $14 billion in stock.
Which 25 okay, plus 14 is 39.
Well, I'm breaking it down, man. I'm doing some math.
But yeah, everybody was thinking that Sprint was going to be the one that would snatch up T-Mobile, and here we go, the largest GSM carrier in the nation snatches up the second largest GSM carrier in the nation. And
so where does this put AT&T in terms of like largest networks or whatever? Because I remember they used to be the largest, and then Verizon bought Alltel, so then Verizon was first. Now
this makes them. This makes it, if the merger goes through, AT&T will be the largest with I think almost 130 million subscribers, as opposed to Verizon, which has around 96, I think.
And it'll essentially be like the only GSM network in the country, wouldn't it? I mean, there's only the two.
Well, there's other ones. They're just like the really small ones.
Well, okay, the thing about those, US though, is they piggyback off of AT&T's network most of the time. Like they lease the spectrum or whatever.
Yeah, aren't they like the equivalent of how like Boost is on Sprint and others like that?
Exactly.
But the thing is, this has to go through the antitrust regulators and the FCC because technically the big four are not going to be becoming the big three. And if you want the GSM carrier, always put to go through AT&T. I mean, regionals don't really matter that much anyway. Most of them are, they just buy the airwaves from, they just rent them out from the big guys anyway. So.
Okay, so it hasn't actually happened yet. But it might
be. No, not yet.
Gotcha.
It'll probably take up to a year.
Have they said anything about like, because I know T-Mobile uses a different 3G band or something than AT&T. What is there any word on unifying that or whatever?
From what they show on the maps, I mean, it would seem, I mean, on their LTE maps, they're showing like the befores and afters, you know, AT&T before the acquisition and after. It would seem that they're probably going to unify it all together. That it would be all spectrums would operate on AT&T, because it would make no sense for them just to nix the T-Mobile spectrum, but somehow expand their LTE that rapidly.
And are they going to keep T-Mobile as a kind of like shell company, or is it all just going to be AT&T? Because like I know in Canada, they have Rogers and Fido, but Rogers owns Fido. So even if you're on Fido, you're on Rogers. So,
well, Canada's different.
There's not enough info. This is just got announced this morning, so it's unsure what will happen. But everybody's now all of a sudden up in arms if it will happen or not. And sort of wondering, would we be having the same discussion if Sprint had bought it?
I never saw Sprint in the running. I mean, Sprint, in my opinion, is on their last leg as far as being one of the big four. I mean, they're one of the big four, but they don't have that big of a market share.
But yeah, AT&T was broken down a few years ago anyway for being way too big in everywhere and in everything. That was back when it was Singular and SBC and blah, blah, blah. And somehow they managed to weasel their way back to having everything under one roof again.
Yeah, if you actually read the history of Singular / AT&T, it's real convoluted. Like, Singular bought AT&T, then AT&T became Singular, then they decided to become AT&T again. I don't know what the fuck's going on there.
It's weird. It's corporate brouhaha weird stuff.
Was that when it was Bell Atlantic?
There was SBC, there was Southwestern Bell, there was Bell Atlantic.
Bell South,
yeah. It was when Ma Bell became the Baby Bells.
But what do you guys think about the possible merger? Good thing, bad thing, don't care?
I don't give a shit.
Surprising.
I mean, I'm still kind of befuddled by this sudden data caps they're putting on me. I don't approve. Not that I really use 150 gigs in a month, but might.
About the U-verse, you mean? The U-verse data caps?
U-verse and the DSL.
Yeah, I believe DSL gets a 150 cap and U-verse gets 250.
Yeah.
Which I'm on U-verse, so.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, on Comcast, I have the same thing. I have a 250 cap, but I rarely go above 150. I mean, sometimes I do, but I've never gotten above the 200 mark.
On Comcast, what happens if you were to go over, hypothetically? Do you get charged, or you just get throttled, or you get shut off?
It's never happened to me, I don't know. So there's been, like, everybody was up in arms when they did introduce it, but I haven't heard any stories of anybody actually getting severely reprimanded or punished. I'm guessing they will throttle it, and if you continue to go over, they'll probably disconnect your service.
I mean, it doesn't really affect me that much. I just feel it's encroaching on my freedom. If I want to download a million billion gigabytes, I should be allowed to. May possibly have to pay more, but still.
That's sort of what AT&T is doing with cell phones now. AT&T sent out messages to all its AT&T wireless customers who were using a little bit too much bandwidth suspiciously. And in particular, people who were jailbreaking their iPhones and using them to tether for free on their laptops, pretty much told them, yeah, you better stop. And if you continue, well, we're automatically updating you to our, what was it, $45 or $50 a month 4 gigabyte tethering plan on top of your current bill?
Yeah, tethering's like, it's like $50, I think.
I'm surprised they didn't do this sooner.
You know why it happened? It's because they started doing that the day after I got my Y, so I guess it's my fault.
Everybody blame Dylan.
Sorry, guys. I fucked it up for everyone.
This is why we can't have anything nice.
Great going, Ben.
You always have to fuck it up.
Well, I'm not sorry. You all deserved it.
You're probably right there.
Okay, with all this bandwidth capping going on, what the hell happens with Netflix then? Especially where Netflix is pushing for, you know, to be able to be used on your phone, on your Windows Phone 7 phone or whatever, and on your PlayStation and stuff like that, if you're a heavy Netflix user, you'll probably be going over that 150 or 250 gigabyte limit pretty quickly, if you think about that, it.
That's the problem with these kind of caps, is if you're someone who literally just watches tons and tons of streams, tons of movies, that's a lot of bandwidth right there.
Exactly. And the problem even if you aren't running into the problem yet, it's not a forward-thinking solution. Because think about, you know, 5-10 years ago, how much bandwidth you probably used back then versus where the state of the internet now. You use a lot more bandwidth. So even though 250 might seem like a lot right now, we don't know what 250 is going to mean in the future. 250 down the road could mean, you know, shit.
Well, you think if you're just watching Netflix, and like quality of the movies just gets better and better, that's a bigger and bigger file to stream, and that's more and more bandwidth.
Not to mention other little things that build up, like how some vendors are offering higher quality music, which adds to a lot more. Like back in the day when iTunes was still DRM encoded, the files were really small, and now that they're offering like slightly lower compression, things are getting much bigger. And collectively, when people download all this stuff from Amazon, from iTunes, Pandora, you know, all this stuff collectively becomes like a huge bandwidth hog.
Well, and not to mention cloud computing, because there's such a big push towards that. And with bandwidth caps, kind of puts a kibosh on the whole idea of cloud computing.
No, you're absolutely right, and especially now where Netflix is, you know, it's pretty much gotten enough momentum where now they're saying that Netflix will be producing its own shows, and it possibly might be reviving old ones, such as Firefly.
That would be cool. Don't know how it's going to work.
Yeah,
it sounds like one of those rumors in the sky. Man, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I guess this is more of a response to like how studios are sort of giving Netflix a hard way to go out of fear of it getting too big.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. And they're planning their first actually Netflix produced and operated and owned TV series is already planned, and it should be coming live later in 2012. So they're saying, what was it, about 26 episodes, was it? Of House of Cards with Kevin Spacey, something like that.
I believe so. Yeah, I know about the show. I just wasn't sure about the specific number of episodes they had planned.
Yeah, as previously reported, Netflix has committed to a minimum of 26 episodes to that show.
So that's a lot for a first season.
Well, that's going to be, I think it's a continuation of a show that's already, or no, isn't it? Oh, no, it's an original TV series, yeah. So Dave Fincher and Kevin Spacey, 2012, 26 episodes.
I'm putting a lot of eggs in one basket there. I hope that show doesn't suck ass.
Oh.
Well, I kind of have faith in both Kevin Spacey and David Fincher, so it should be interesting at least.
House of Cards is based on the book and the BBC miniseries with the same name, and it follows an ambitious English politician and charts his rise to power. Ooh.
Sounds intriguing, but I'll have to see.
Well, it's going to have British people in it, so I'll automatically by default be intriguing.
Well, indeed. I can't disagree there.
So, well, that's the thing on Netflix. But on Netflix's heels is, I'm going to butcher this name, Zadiva? Or is it Zadiva?
I read it as Zadiva.
Zadiva? Okay. So Zadiva is this service that allows you to stream your movies by renting DVD players.
That's what I got out of it.
That sort of reminds me of how a lot of studios, like, they would use like large machines that would basically be fed with like with a robot arm that puts a tape to play a certain thing to broadcast. But it doesn't seem like a very like viable solution long term. It seems more like a stopgap to just get around certain restrictions. I'm not sure how they keep up with this if they were to expand any more than this.
I see it being difficult for them to expand, but it's a novel concept in that you can get first release movies before anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Amazon comes kind of close, at the same time, you know, from what I understand, this is actually playing off of the physical DVD in a player that's connected to the network, right?
Yeah.
So
that's how they get around the whole restriction.
Yeah, so this doesn't seem like something that would work for long term. It only seems to work for like a very small operation, since there won't be a lot of people to have a lot of demand out of their system. I mean, because it has a physical DVD player, rather than just having files that can be broadcast simultaneously to multiple people. So, I mean, how does that work? Like, eventually, like, if enough people were to rent out a physical DVD, it just wouldn't be available, right?
Yeah, like that. That's the way they have it set up, from what I gathered, and doing stuff for the article, is that they have discs, and it's like going to fucking Blockbuster. They might not have the movie you want, so yeah, you have to come back. But if you watch it and you pause it for more than an hour, then someone else can rent it. Like, you don't have it anymore, and then you can get it back within your 14-day rental period. So you can't just like keep it, like rent it, and then just not watch it until like the 14th day, and then you're good.
Yeah, I don't see that ending well.
It, like Kaiser was saying, I don't understand why they're going with the physical DVD player and physical media when they could just turn it into a file that they could stream to as many people.
But see, that would put them in this. They'd have to do it at the same time as Netflix. They're doing it before Netflix can stream it, and so that's the niche they're trying to fill. Is I want to see this movie. It just came out on DVD. I want to see it today.
Yeah,
I don't want to have to wait the month.
Yeah, but they also have to get the rights to encode the DVD into a playable file to broadcast.
Yeah.
So that's why they're going with the physical medium. Is they want to beat Netflix and Amazon and those other people that stream movies as a file to give people a chance to see it earlier, I guess.
But now,
Go ahead.
I'm still not familiar with all of the restrictions on physical DVDs. Just it seems kind of troublesome to me for them to broadcast this thing. I mean, I guess since they're just renting it out like it would a regular DVD, but I can't help but think that if they were to expand any more than this, they would, you know, like studios would sort of be a little troubled by this whole model of theirs. And make some sort of response to this. I can't see this working for any long period of time.
I don't see it being as the next big thing. I see it as kind of being one of those kind of an indie company. Just, you know, it's a limited service for those select few people who can't fucking wait for anything. It's not going to be the next Netflix or anything like that.
I think this is just going to be one more reason, like Brian Brushwood said when he was on, that the best solution is piracy. And it sucks that people would turn to piracy, but when people have to resort to shit like this, I mean, when it's so much easier to just make a few clicks on the internet, boom, I got the file on my computer.
Yeah, basically what this strikes me as, it's for people that are too honest to pirate, but they still want the immediacy of on demand, and they don't want to have to wait for Netflix. So it's kind of a middle ground.
Yeah, it's a small niche, and they're trying to fill it, and they can. I mean, it's going to be expensive for them to expand, so they probably won't expand too much more. But I know when the story broke, their website was actually down because they had so many people rushing in to try it out. Because I was trying to check around on the site, like right after it published, and it just took me to a splash page that just said, "Come back later." We're overwhelmed.
Which doesn't exactly inspire confidence in online streaming service.
Well, and it's one of those things that the internet caught hold of it and it just ran away. Because apparently they're not, I mean, they're new, but they're not that new. They've been around for a little while. No one had heard of them.
Well, we'll keep an eye on both Diva, Zadiva, and Netflix. And keep our fingers crossed that they might revive Firefly.
We can only hope.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Oh, shit.
Moving along now to Zune and Dig. Both were rumored to be dead as of this week. Both were proclaimed dead by the media and by the users, with Microsoft pretty much killing off the Zune hardware completely and integrating all the Zune software into future releases of Windows Phone 7. And then Dig, which if you still remember what Dig is, its last OG, so to speak, its co-founder Kevin Rose, resigned finally after 2 years of doing nothing and not even going to work. But he finally cashed in and got out of there. So thoughts on either Dig or Zune?
Yeah, I was wondering when they would finally kill that, like, finally just let it wither on the vine, because Microsoft has pretty much been a bunch of wusses on pushing this product since day one. When they first made it, I mean, all right, they had those weirdo cartoon or stop-motion animation ads that were like, okay, that made some sort of gimmicky message about their sharing feature. And then when the next iteration of the Zune came out, it basically just, like, you know, they had really short supply. It was nowhere to be found. And just anyone who was really caring about this from the beginning stopped caring then. And, you know, then they limped along to get to the Zune HD, which is actually really nice hardware. But who knows about it? Like, what's a Zune? When people say, what's a Zune, usually it's a joke. But in real life, it's serious. Like, people don't know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last week. To the common man, an iPod and an MP3 player are the same thing. And the unfortunate thing about this, as much as an Apple fan I am and an iPod, iPhone user, is there's not really a mainstream option for people that are looking for a non-Apple MP3 player.
The Zune was really good, though. The software was great. The hardware was, well, I mean, it's a hard drive. You know, the user interface was really nice. It's just that like Kaiser said, they didn't market it correctly. They kind of pissed around with it for far too long. But thankfully, it's getting put into Windows Phone 7, so it's not dead completely. It's just not going to be like Apple has with their iPhone and iPod Touch. That's all going to be in the...
Listener Chancelloria just asked what competition will Apple have now? And he thinks that Zune was the only legitimate competitor, in his opinion.
Well, there's Sansa and the little brands, but see, there's no one with the weight of a name like Microsoft behind them.
Yeah, I think he's right, though, because the Zune, like, I mean, there was the Walkman. Like, Sony actually does make a multi-touch screen. I don't know if it's multi-touch, but it's like an OLED screen Walkman. And it's a really nice looking player. They have some like other Walkmans that are sort of like alternatives to the Nano that are much cheaper. At the same time, though, you know, they're sort of little janky things that cheap plastic that nobody knows about, nobody cares. And what is it? I think there's Sansa, but I mean Sansa. They don't make any like higher end players that sort of compete with like the iPod Touch. They only make stuff that's like an alternative to the Nano. And, you know, so really there is nothing else other than an iPod. I mean, does Creative even make anything anymore?
I don't think so. I think they kind of died out with the Zen.
Yeah.
They stick the sound cards just now.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, and they were the only ones that actually had their own proper, like, suite for distribution of content. Like, nobody else had anything proper like
and,
that.
And pre-iPod, the Creative stuff was really nice. But they just kind of quit fucking with it.
Is the iPod dead as well?
What, the classic?
The classic.
The classic, I would say, is maybe not dead, but just kind of there as an option that nobody really chooses.
I think it's just changed.
iPod Nano and the iPod Touch are going real strong still.
I think it's changed, like, the viewpoint of the consumer has changed. Like, a lot of people now have an iPhone or a smartphone of some kind that has substantial space for enough music that they want to listen to in one trip. And so they don't really need a primary music playing device. They're fine with just loading a few songs onto their fucking phone and listen to it on their commute or whatever.
And yeah, I think the classic fills a very specific purpose, and that's for people that want their entire library at all times. And most people don't care about that so much anymore. So 8, 16, 32 gigabytes is enough for them.
Exactly. The days of having the 100, 200 gigabyte, you know, space availability isn't really a necessity anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's what Microsoft is getting at with this. I mean, because basically Windows Phone 7 carries over so many cues from the Zune's interface, especially the Zune HD. And with the inclusion of the Zune service, it's essentially a Zune phone, but not branded as such.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the thing is, you get a smartphone now, and you can put, a lot of them come up to 64. And that's a lot of space to put any kind of media on there. And you'll be okay for your day-to-day listening, unless you're just sitting there just listening to hours and hours of music all day long.
But it kind of is unfortunate, though, that for there's no option now to have the Zune experience without a Windows 7 phone. Like, there's no iPod Touch equivalent, essentially.
No, there's not. And I kind of think the iPod Touch is... It's neat. I have one. I like to use it, but I use it less and less now than I used to, because my phone can do everything that it can do, and I can call people on it. Instead of having two devices in my pocket, I can just have one.
The issue with that still, though, is battery life.
Yeah.
That's something that they haven't really figured out yet. But also regarding the iPod Classic having more storage than any other one device out there, the iPod Classic currently holds 160 gigabytes at its biggest. It hasn't been refreshed in, what, 2 years now? It's been like that.
Well, what else are they going to do with it?
Well, I mean, how much space are you really going to fucking want? Look, I had one, and it was, I don't know, it was fucking legs or something. And I really didn't need any more than that. I was like, and then I got the 32 gig iPod Touch, and I was like, oh, it doesn't have anywhere near as much space. But I still haven't filled the fucking thing up yet.
Well, here's where space comes in. Let's take a trip down memory lane to the early days of the internet. Back, let's say, in the Napster days, your average bit rate for an MP3 was anywhere between 96 and 128 kilobits per second. So pretty much you were looking at an MP3 with the size of about 2, maybe 3 megabytes in size. Nowadays, all the stuff that you see out there has skyrocketed to 320 kilobytes per second, at minimum 192. But 320 or 256 VBR, which comes out to at least a megabyte and a half per minute. So sometimes even 2, depending on the song. So you have songs that are, say, about 4 minutes long. They're hitting about 8 megabytes. So you're looking at about 10 megabytes a song. So if you take your entire music library and convert that into higher quality MP3s, automatically you've already inflated it by at least a factor of 1.5 to 2.
Yeah, but how many people want to care about carrying around their whole library?
It's not even about carrying
their whole library.
It's not about carrying around their whole library. I'm just saying, even if it's 4 gigabytes worth of space on your current library, which is not that much. You know, it's about what, maybe 1,000 songs at the most. If nowadays we're getting all our stuff in high quality, in a few years the same amount of songs will be taking up that 16. Gigabytes of space that's currently, or not 16, but more like 10, is currently in your iPhone or iPod Touch. So automatically your size has been reduced dramatically, as opposed to now where you're also using apps and movies and stuff.
But I see storage space in phones growing and growing and growing and growing and growing, which will push the need for a primary large music player out of the picture.
Yes,
consumers would prefer to have just a larger capacity phone.
True, and the whole point I brought this up was because that might not happen for at least a couple of years. Because although the iPod Classic still fits 160, the next version of the iPod Touch and the iPhone, it's only going to have a maximum of 128. That'll be its biggest option.
Yeah.
The 128 NAND storage from Toshiba was revealed, I believe, last year, right before the iPod line refresh. So yeah. For all intents and purposes, that's going to be the next big piece of storage, which is still significantly less than the 160 gigabytes that's currently offered in the iPod Classic.
But the iPad Classic, that whole line has been kind of low. It's only around because a few people buy it. It's not their mainline product anymore. It doesn't sell as much as the Nanos or the Touches. It's a small portion, I think.
I think part of the reason why the iPod Classic is still around is not just the storage, but also because, I mean, it's essentially now the only iPod that actually has a click wheel on it. And I think that's the thing. Like they've been sort of keeping it around as sort of like an iconic iPod in their lineup. I mean, you know, because some people actually do like the physical controls of it. And
I love the click wheel on mine.
Yeah.
Although, I missed the sad iPod face.
Though the new software for the iPod Classic, I don't like it personally. I think the new iPod Classic is essentially a piece of shit compared to like the fifth generation iPod.
Yeah, the fifth gen with video was awesome. After that, they started adding all this like stuff to the software that it was kind of just fluff, but I didn't really care for. But the fifth and prior, like the fifth, I think was the perfect, like just what you need without too much extra crap.
True that. All right. But so,
to go back what you were saying real quick, though, Steven, about the whole bitrate and everything, that's exactly the same thing I was talking about with about bandwidth earlier, too, is because,
You
know, a few years ago, our standard song was one size, and now it's, you know, almost twice as big. So
it applies to everything. It applies to music, applies to movies and video games. I mean, you get just a few years ago, not even long ago, like 2008, 2007, movies that you would get online were DVD quality. And those were averaging about, you know, a feature length film was getting about, you know, anywhere between 600 and 800 megabytes for about an hour and a half to 2 hours of movie time in DVD quality. And now with high definition, it's gone up to something ridiculous, like, what was it, 4 gigabytes at least, and that's with compressed high definition. So even video games, World of Warcraft, Vito, how much space is that bitch taking up on your system? 20 gigs now?
Hold on.
With Cataclysm?
I will say that it has its own hard drive.
Seriously. I mean,
it does. It's only at 10 gigs right now.
That's...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's 10 gigs free.
Yeah.
that means it's at about 25.
Right, and this is a game that's been around for 6 years now. DC Universe Online, which came out last month, it was a 16 gigabyte download, and that is just the base game. That's not including any other patches that'll come, so automatically we're using a shitload of bandwidth, as Benguin said. So, interesting how things will turn out. Any last words on Dig that we never talked about?
Yeah, I don't know. Did anyone ever actually use Dig, even when it was the thing to use?
Because I used to watch Dignation a lot, which is basically exactly what we're doing, but with less people and video.
Well, I barely used it. I didn't really find much interest in it. And now that Reddit is around, I don't really see any reason to care.
Yeah, Reddit's cooler.
Reddit is. Okay. Same topic of Microsoft, though. We were talking about the Zune. Microsoft also claims that it was the one that took down the world's largest spam botnet, the Rustuck botnet, which curbed internet spam, email spam, by some ridiculously large number. I think like 23% or something like that. The world's spam was taken down. Did anybody notice a drop in their in the amount of spam they've been getting the last few days?
Not really.
No. No. But I don't really get that much spam.
Yeah.
No, you probably do. You just don't notice it. Like, open up your spam folder sometime in your inbox. It's fucking full of shit.
I have 55 spam messages, and most of them are from the university that I just don't want and send them straight to the spam.
Oh, yeah, because see, I used to think, like, oh, I don't get a lot of spam. That's weird. And one day I just opened up my spam inbox in Gmail. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, so
good on your Gmail for catching
that. I've seen that thing go up to like 800 something at some points.
You need to quit signing up on porn sites, sir.
But I need my fetish porn.
Okay, well, I did a little, I took a screenshot earlier of the spam that was going through my Yahoo, that was actually getting into my Yahoo inbox. That's what I use for all my bullshit signups and stuff like that I don't really care about. But it's not even spam. It's just gibberish. I mean, they're not even trying anymore. It's like,
yeah,
it's like black, you know, black dog, metal, Cox 423 penis.
Boy, those Nigerians sure have their low-hanging fruit.
I just opened my spam folder and I have one called...
some that are just in Russian, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
This one's called Message from the FBI. Attention Fund Beneficiary. This is an official advice from the FBI Foreign Remittance Telegraphic Department. Blah, blah, blah.
They're not even trying anymore.
Anti-terrorist and Money Laundry Crimes Division. Money Laundry. Awesome.
Money Laundry.
Okay, but those are the ones
that actually
tried.
You lost your money, you're going to jail.
Those are the ones that are actually trying to get something out of it. The ones that are just plain old gibberish, what the fuck's the point of that? Nobody's grandma's going to click on it and be like, why is this all written like this? I don't know, maybe she is. I don't know.
I got a spam email in my spam inbox, and the title of the email is F23K5J, and inside the email is the letter I.
Exactly.
That's all wow. There.
What's the point of that? Who gets any money out of that?
Maybe from people who also speak gibberish.
Maybe it's a return to the like original. Remember back in like 1995, viruses on your computer weren't meant to like steal your information. They were designed just to fuck you over. Like they weren't trying to take your money. They just wanted to destroy your fucking computer. Now
like
they don't want to.
Like,
exactly. They're not trying to get anything from you anymore. They're just trying to inconvenience you and mess up your day. So yeah. I approve.
Oh, so basically they're going back to when viruses had integrity.
Exactly. I'm a virus hipster.
Speaking of spam, the Noisecast just got spam for get an iPhone 4 for free. Probably knows we're talking about Apple products.
Hot damn, we're forwarded to me.
But yeah, so the botnet, just a really quick recap. Its size was between 1.1 to 1.7 million infected computers around the world. It was responsible for 47.5% of all spam sent worldwide by the end of 2010. So
how exactly is Microsoft claiming responsibility for shutting it down? They put out a patch that fucking closed the hole in their system?
This operation known as Operation B107. At least they're not, you know, doing operation like Desert Fox or whatever the hell those military names are.
Operation Crotch Donkey.
The guy who made the names is on break today. Sorry.
Operation Desert Pwn.
Is the second high-profile takedown in Microsoft's joint effort between CU, Microsoft Malware Protection Center, and Trustworthy Computing, known as Project Mars.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mayhem.
Yeah, I was about to say Mayhem.
His name is Robert Paulson.
But, yeah, so apparently Microsoft is taking its security really seriously, as we've seen with Microsoft Security Essentials, and now botnet takedowns. Symantec and McAfee, beware.
They're too fat to actually do anything. They're just like, pay us money and we'll protect your computer and give you all this awesome bloatware toolbars.
You know what? I still say that for Windows-based systems, Microsoft Security Essentials can't be beat. Cannot.
No, that's what I've had, and it's amazing.
Never let me down. A friend of mine
recently told me that they paid money for, I think, McAfee, and I shook my head quietly.
You point and laugh.
And on the last topic of Microsoft, Nokia, the obvious no, Nokia has started working on its Windows 7 phones, and they will be coming out sometime in 2012. Just a little blurb.
Don't fuck it up, Nokia.
They're already fucking it up by letting it come out in 2012. They should be on top of this shit. It should be coming out no later than third quarter of this year.
Yeah.
That's true. All they really have to do is build the fucking phone.
They need to get one out too, because their stock's been dropping. They need to come out and say, hey, look at this awesome shit we have.
I mean, Motorola. Microsoft's market share in the mobile market, I mean, it was declining by a rate of about 2% every quarter since 2009. And ever since they released Windows Phone 7, it's put the brakes on it and cut it down to the last quarter. It was only a decrease of 1%. So it stopped it a little bit. It's just that there haven't been any phones out. And the ones that are out, I believe three of them are available on AT&T. One is on T-Mobile. And the other one is on T-Mobile, but only available from Dell. So you can't even go to the store and look at it. So there really hasn't been a very wide range of availability in terms of Windows Phone 7 phones. But if they bust out Nokia by the end of this by third quarter, that market share is going to rebound for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's theirs for the taking. They need to fucking go out and fucking grab it.
Yeah, and now that we're talking about it, and I actually started thinking about why the fuck aren't they putting one out sooner? The software's done. This just proves that they're going to be fucking with the software. They don't even have to do it. Just build a phone, put the software on it, throw it to the masses. All you got to do.
Especially after teasing with, like, those renders of those Nokia phones. Like, you know, the multiple colors and everything,
yes.
You know, just enticing people. And they're like, oh, you're not going to see it for another year and a half. Fantastic. Yeah.
But, yeah, we should have seen the red flags when it was announced that Nokia would be the only hardware manufacturer that is permitted to fuck around with the software, the proprietary software that Microsoft has.
I'm pretty sure this was one of my bitches about it when we mentioned that they were going to be joining forces. I saw we'll let them fuck with the software. Yep, good job. Well,
I mean, obviously Nokia knows what they're doing because Symbian was such a fantastic operating... Oh, wait.
Oh, I see what you did
there. You're surprised. A lot of people still like that shit for some reason.
Yeah, well, they can't be helped.
Nokia is pumping out a few phones, actually. Symbian phones, isn't it? I think a new Symbian phone just got scheduled or got FCC approval over here.
God knows why.
Well, I guess it's just to move the supply, the inventory. Kaiser, you sort
well,
of
not. Stopped. Yeah, I mean, they still have a good number of supporters, I suppose. I mean, not necessarily in the U.S., though. I mean, what carrier actually sells Nokia phones other than little rinky-dink candy bar headsets? But I mean, I guess for the most part, Nokia was sort of reluctant to jump on this whole Windows nonsense because, I mean, sort of like the same reason why Motorola was sort of very apprehensive about going to Android. You know,
right.
when Android was a lot rougher than it is now, and they were still using P2K and Windows Mobile 6 at the latest. And I mean, I can see why they're still pumping them out, just because as much as I want to knock on Symbian, it's still a pretty workable, simple, relatively simple piece of software for like their cheaper handsets, like, you know, like the E7 and so forth. I mean, they still work, and for some reason people still buy them, which is why I imagine they're still selling them. But, I mean, I don't understand this timetable of theirs. Like, what is the thinking that's going on here with delaying so long?
I don't know. If I was Ballmer and Elop, I would just say, okay, get everybody, stop every other thing that you're doing, and get me a phone out as fast as possible. Put all your testers, put all your developers, just put everybody on overtime just to get this thing out.
Because
that would make sense.
I mean, because Nokia is basically supposed to be like their closest hardware vendor, right?
Yeah.
Like they're like much closer than HTC ever was, or any other like or anything like that. So I mean, yeah. I mean, it seems to go along with Microsoft's whole releasing hardware late sort of thing. But yeah, I don't see how this is working out.
Well, Symbian is not dead yet, and it probably won't be, as the QT, or I'm sorry, not, it's Qt. But it's spelled QT. That development platform, which was supposed to be integrated into Symbian, that got sold off to a different company that's going to be finding ways to use that as a cross-platform development thingy. So odds are Symbian will get spun off, or it will get sold off to somebody, because there, I guess there, it has other applications that it can be used for, and actually will do a better job than it does on just using as an operating system on cell phones. So it's not dead yet. Okay. Last topic about phones.
Who was phone?
Who was phone? Funny.
Don't mock me, Steven.
Are phone calls going the way of the landline? Meaning, are they getting extinct? Are we? Are phone calls becoming the new sort of rude thing to do in terms of social etiquette?
Becoming? I thought they already were. Like, who the fuck actually makes phone calls anymore?
Like, I'm on AT&T, so I don't know what a phone call
is in the first place.
I mean, I'll make a phone call if I don't want to type it out. Like, sometimes things I have to say, I don't want to put in 160 character messages.
Well,
I think for the most part, I relegate communication to text and so forth, the people I don't really care to talk to at all anyway. I mean,
there's,
you know,
two people that I prefer to talk on the phone with. Everyone else, fuck that. They get a text message. So yeah, unless you're one of those two people.
Obviously, it's not me.
Obviously, Steven. Obviously.
But no, usually, think about it, when you want to call somebody, what do? You send a text or an email saying, is it okay if I call? Because apparently a phone call is now an inconvenience. It's like, why should I have to listen to your voice when you want me to while I'm doing something? Your voice is not more important than what I'm doing.
A lot of times I prefer to text
messaging and everything. You can multitask. Like, I could be talking to you on the toilet and you wouldn't be the wiser. But
I could be podcasting right now on the toilet.
That's kind of hot. No homo.
No homo. New definition of the word steamy.
No, but a lot of times I prefer to text someone instead of calling them, because especially if I think they might have something, like they might come back and try to argue, I can just kind of ignore their text. Be like, oh, sorry, I got caught in a bunch of texts I get every day, so I forgot to reply. Sorry, but if I called them on the phone and they wanted to discuss something heated, I'd have to sit there and do it. I can just push it away.
Yeah, and with the rise in cell phone usage, you can always use your battery dying as an excuse to get off early.
Exactly.
Like, my phone is dying. I gotta go. I gotta talk to you later. Click.
Yep. Man, I miss the good old days where, you know, you'd beg your parents for a line of your own or a phone in your room. Well, I wouldn't, but teenage girls would. It'd be on TV.
Yeah, we all know you were a teenage girl at one point in your life.
Go into the right chat room, but he still is.
Hello.
Nice.
Better get Family Watchdog US on the line.
Why don't you take a seat over here, Steven?
Haven't had one of those references in a while. I had to throw one in.
Good job. Blast from the past.
That's good. You're relating to old podcast episodes. Good man. Way to be supportive.
I do what I can.
Google Search now lets you search for upcoming release dates of movies and video games instead of going hunting on the video game developer websites and getting different answers from Amazon and IGN and GameStop and stuff. If you just look up something like Duke Nukem Forever release date or, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides release date, Google will aggregate all the release dates out there and give its best guesstimate and show it to you at the very top, along with the sources it got it from.
And if you search for a Valve or Blizzard game, it says, fuck if I know.
As a term gamer, I can say that I love this. This is kind of awesome. It's about fucking time they did it, too.
It's not for all releases, though, so if you're looking for something that's going to be released, you know, next year or whatnot, odds are it isn't. It's only for concrete release dates that have been more or less confirmed.
Right, right, right. But that's still better than nothing, you know?
Right.
It's still better than looking all over the place and then finding the one tiny little line at the end of the article that says, such and such is going to release on the 15th of February or whatever the fuck.
See, you say you love it. Like, I don't really care because I would always just go to, like, Wikipedia, and on there it would say, you know, Europe comes out so-and-so, America comes out so-and-so. I mean, I guess it's cool, but...
It saves you some clicking because you'd have to go to Wikipedia, search for the thing,
and then click on the thing,
and then scroll down.
Because the really cool Google search thing, though, that I found recently is recipes. Like, if you Google search for a recipe, there's this little menu in the left-hand side will give you different like options for ingredients, and you can narrow it down through that. That's fucking awesome. This, whatever.
Well, I still kind of hate instant search.
It's the same concept, man, but one's for woman's work and one is for video games.
How about if I'm looking for a release date for Cooking Mama? What then?
Cooking Mama.
There was our one female listener.
Is that your favorite porn series?
Maybe. Put a pterodactyl.
Cooking Mama and Never Been to the Salad Tosser.
Good one.
Do you guys know what Wonder Wheel is on Google search?
Wonder Wheel.
The fuck is Wonder Wheel?
Have you seen it?
Isn't that it's a song really bizarre. By some band?
I think it's Wonder Wall. Ride.
Oh, whatever.
No, the Wonder Wheel was the thing from the toy. No? Am I the only one old enough to remember that?
I suppose so.
I'm gonna let go of my butt now.
Let go of your butt? What were you doing while you were recording this?
I've got a rocking chair that's on its way to your house, old man.
See, what the fuck's the Wonder Wheel, Steven?
Well, if you do a Google search, I mean, it showed up to me today, actually. But if you do a Google search on anything, like iPod Classic, for example, on the little sidebar it has, under, I guess you gotta press some buttons. where you go to determine like if you want your search results to be between the last 24 hours, within the last year, et cetera, your date range. That little thing, if you expand that, then it gives you a whole bunch of other options that say, you know, sites with images, timeline, this and that. There's one thing called Wonder Wheel, which I'm not quite sure what exactly the point of this is. But I have iPod Classic in the center as a wheel, and then there's all these things that branch out, like iPod Touch, iPod Classic 160, iPod Classic 80 gigabyte, et cetera, et cetera. So it gives you like
a... like related searches?
I'm guessing. I don't know. I still am looking at this and trying to figure out what its purpose is, except for instead of just listing the related searches like it normally does.
Because I'm not seeing that. Like, I searched iPod Classic... and then down there at the bottom of the left-hand side, it says something different, iPod Nano, iPod Mini.
No.
So it's like, wow, thanks for things I wasn't looking for.
Hit the button that says more search tools right above something different.
Okay. Oh, Wonder Wheel.
Yeah, that
What the fuck is this?
Exactly. I still don't see Wonder Wheel.
Okay, I think I got it figured out. In my 3 seconds of looking at it, I think I've deducted what it's supposed to do.
Deduced?
Deducted, sir. Deducted.
Surmised.
So, I deducted that you get, it says your main search is iPod Classic, but maybe you thought, I want to search the iPod Classic manual. And then it gives you a link so you can click it.
I still
so maybe you, maybe feature. You didn't it's take the time to type out the whole
so
thing.
So it's the same thing as related searches.
But it's a pretty wheel. It's visually stimulating. It got my brain churning.
Let's get brainstorm.
Yeah, your brain is off of butter if you think deduced was the proper word to use.
Deducted was the proper word I used.
Oh, that's what I meant. Fuck.
Hey, my brain the internet. Is I'm allowed to make shit up whenever I want.
Oh, God. But, yeah, that's the Wonder Wheel. In case anybody's
interested.
Yeah,
I still
don't
see that option there, but whatever.
It's slightly retarded.
If you hit
I can see recipes for iPod Classic.
No.
So shut something. The fuck up.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I deducted that you're a moron.
I you deducted don't know how to you're use probably the right.
I'm going to deduct points from you.
Or will you deduce points from me?
That is a conundrum, sir, that only you can solve.
I'd rather not.
Straight from Sony Labs, Sony is working apparently on a Chrome OS, a PlayStation branded tablet, and a sort of folding cylinder clamshell sort of display or computer thing.
What? What is it, like a holographic version of the Rolly or something?
No, it's all we've seen is like a patent sketch, I think it is, but it is a dual screen clamshell sort of sliding PC thing. It's like, think of it like the old PlayStation 3, the original one. You know that shape. And it opens up in the center, like a jewelry box.
Like a Nintendo DS?
Yes, like a Nintendo DS, except it's like a cylinder thing.
Okay.
That sounds like a glasses case.
Yeah, like a glasses case. But anyway, this thing, Chrome OS on the Vio, or Veo, whatever you call it, supposedly has Thunderbolt, Intel's Thunderbolt technology, solid state drive, Blu-ray burner, external graphics by AMD, and 8 to 16.5 hours of battery life running on a Core i7 processor.
So essentially, it's going to be overkill. That's overpriced for Chrome OS netbook.
Pretty much.
I mean, is it going to be strictly Chrome OS, or is it going to be a dual boot system?
This is all that pales in comparison to what Sony's plotting for this. Because this is supposed to be a Chrome OS PC laptop.
Huh.
Maybe I'm just unimaginative, but why would you need a Thunderbolt port for a cloud operating system?
The same reason you would need a dedicated graphics card for a cloud operating system.
Feel to think outside the box here. You have to look around and see all of the... I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, what actually works with Chrome OS that would even take advantage of any of this?
You don't ask questions.
You just take it and
be like, they did this because they could, not because it's useful.
Yeah, you're the type of person who probably took their rootkit CDs and say, hey, this shit is fantastic.
I hate copying my own music.
I love DRM.
Yeah!
I like it when big corporations tell me what I should and shouldn't be allowed to do.
Please,
making
sir,
decisions
I'd like some more.
Is hard.
Oh, boy. But yeah, I guess... That's because Sony can, it's doing this, and it's... I'll never see the light of day, but that's the latest from Sony Skunkworks.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, it'll be similarly priced to a regular Windows 7 notebook, I presume, since it's going to have all that other hardware in it. I mean, Blu-ray, the discrete graphics, Thunderbolt's nothing, but I mean, the i7 processor, yeah, that's going to be expensive.
I think they're just doing it because they can, and I don't think it'll actually reach the market.
Yeah, if they were doing something like the CR48 and, you know, creating like a netbook that was cheaper, had like Chrome OS, you know, nice hardware that sort of carried some of the like the VAIO cues, like the Z, then I can see that working. But this, I mean, why would I choose this over Windows 7?
Interesting. No idea. But I do have a question for you. What is a proper term nowadays? Laptop or notebook?
I mean, I guess they're interchangeable. Mostly because, you know, who actually uses their computer on their lap most of the time? I use it on my desk or bed or whatever. I mean, I consider it more of a notebook.
I guess in my head, the distinction is size. Like a 13 inch and bigger is a laptop, whereas 10 and below is a penis jokes.
Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think they're interchangeable. I don't really see much distinction between them.
When does it stop being a laptop, though? I mean, because there's got to be a size where you're like, there's no fucking way I want that thing on my lap. Like upstairs right now, I've got one that I bought.
Laptop.
You mean like a sort of like Alienware's Area 51 notebook, where it's like a huge club sandwich thing that's.
I don't know how big that one is. I know that
it's the hoagie roll of computing.
I bought one that was specifically for gaming and watching Blu-ray movies on. It's got an 18.4-inch diagonal widescreen on it. So I would not want that thing on my lap. It generates massive amounts of heat, and it's huge. So,
yeah. And those get, like, the name desktop replacement. Like, Dell had one that was 20 inches, and I think HP also had one. That was basically, I mean, they had like a huge handle built into the hinge. So it was more like just to lug it if you're going to move it to another part of the house and just open it up and leave it there. And that's pretty much it.
Like the Bondi Blue IMAX?
No, I mean, that thing was actually sort of portable compared to these things. These things are humongous.
Didn't those have like a carrying handle sort of thing?
They had a fucking handle on the back.
Imagine seeing somebody like carry that down the street.
It looked like a portable, like, it looked like you were just carrying around something to protect your ass when you go to a porta potty.
they're fucking like on the train to work and they're just carrying their Big Mac with them. Like a lunch pail.
Okay. Ready for WTF news?
Absolutely. Always. Oh, yeah, that's the best part.
All right, we're going to start off easy. First like your mother. Topic.
Hey-o!
So it begins.
Shut up, Trebek.
First piece of WTF news is XXX domains have been approved for use.
About time.
So now stay tuned for the Noisecast switching to the Noisecast.xxx. In the near future.
Seems like more of a pointless novelty to me.
Well, start snatching up those domains, man. Start registering snatch. All the start snatch.xxx. Buy that shit.
And sell it off those domains. For profit?
Yes. Yeah.
Not a bad idea, actually. To GoDaddy.
Another Noisecast money-making idea.
Only this one might actually be worth some money.
Well, look at Sun. Its domain is going to be probably worth $1 million. So imagine if you rent out or if you buy, figure out the next cool porn trend and buy a domain based off it. Like
I would like to say that maybe all of the sick and twisted porn fetishes have been discovered by now, thanks to the internet, but I know that's not true. As soon as those words come out of my mouth and I'm actually serious about it, they'll come up with something that makes everything before it look tame.
Like Rule 34, man. Human nature.
Here's one for you. Peanutshootingvaginagun.com. .xxx, rather.
What the fuck?
Nice.
That should be trendy in a couple of years.
Shit. Have we degraded that far?
Oh,
I think so.
We have plenty more to go.
Bananashow.xxx.
No.
Blumpkinpie.org.
StephenCallis.xxx.
Oh, I've already registered that one.
Cakefarts.xxx.
Oh, goddamn.
No. Oh, God, that video.
Cakefarts.
Just leave it to queef.xxx.
Leave it to queef.
Leave it to queef. Oh, that's Nation's favorite sitcom. Hello?
Answer your phone, man.
Nice ringtone.
Okay, now that we got our pouring multi-million dollar ideas out of the way. In a sort of related note, I guess this is a little bit of what WTF2, but Etsy incorporated a new feature in its service that pretty much made everybody's purchases public. So with their names. So apparently some people searched for the names of certain females and found out the dildos they bought, what colors they were, what size they were, etc. So this is a huge privacy boo-boo on Etsy's part.
So you can't buy any gifts for them that's too specific? Like, how did you know this?
how did you know I wanted a purple, sparkly, vibrating dildo?
Well, it's funny because they were saying the search results were like, the first link would be their LinkedIn, and then afterwards would be like their dildo purchase from Etsy.
That's gonna be awkward at the company Christmas party.
Are homemade dildos really like a huge market though?
Are what?
Are homemade dildos on Etsy really like a huge market?
Hey, I buy 4 or 5 a week, man.
Made with the finest cedar pine.
I can't stay stuffed.
Etsy. Well, apparently they fixed that problem, and they apologized, but.
Didn't Etsy also just pass something where you can't sell bongs anymore? I thought I just saw that recently.
Bongs kill people. Dildos don't.
Damnation.
How about a dildo bong? How about that?
Didn't we talk about a story a while back about a lady who tried to assault a police officer with a dildo?
Oh, yes. That was over up here close to me in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Didn't she have a two in her hand, like try to use them as nunchucks or something?
Dual wielding. Dually dildos.
And I believe the report made it a point to say that they were purple as well.
Well, that's the standard color for dildos.
All right, this might disappoint some of you, but there is a new law being propositioned in Florida that will make it illegal for you to photograph farm animals, giving you a sentence of up to 30 years in prison for doing so. So, Lifted, you're listening. Quit taking pictures of farm animals.
Well, there goes my idea for my XXX site.
Oh, no, it's only Florida, so you should be okay anyway.
Why does this need to be a law?
Apparently, it involves...
You know why. You don't want to think about it, but you know exactly why it has to be a law.
But how many people actually go and be like, I'm going to take pictures of cows today?
It's Florida, man.
There aren't that many cows in Florida, I don't think.
You think there's going to be a black market of farm animal pictures in Florida? It's like go on the beach, some guy approaches you with a trench coat, yo, man, I got pigs. You want a pig? You want a pig? I got white pigs, red pigs, black pigs. What you want?
So, tell us more, Steven. Tell us more.
So that's your farm animal.
We know we can find Steven next year. On the beach in Florida in a trench coat.
Another money-making idea, except this one I was keeping a secret for myself. Pedo Bear starred in a convicted sex offender's ad for computers.
That was a I wonder who signed off on that.
So, apparently this article says, well, the smoking gun says, it's really funny. If you look at the ad, it says CP distributor, which is the internet term for porn. And right next to it is Pedo Bear holding a laptop.
Awesome.
Now, in the ad, it actually means computer part distributor. but yeah. Obviously the pita beer attached doesn't
mean and apparently the guy, like the owner, was like a convicted of child, like yeah, a sex offender.
A convicted sex offender, and his last name was, wasn't it Dix?
Let's see, where's the guy's name? Robert Dix.
Oh, perfect.
Yes, Bob Dix.
Wow, look at his picture.
Robert Dix.
Wow.
Okay, well, it wasn't him that actually designed the ad. The coupon book's publisher claimed that the ad was designed by a female employee in her mid-40s who found the pedo bear image online while searching for clip art to include in the CP distributor coupon.
So what'd she do? Did she just type in CP distributor and expect pertinent images to pop up?
The company would not explain why the art department employee chose to include a bear, of all things, in a computer firm's advertisement. Nor he could provide any insight as to why the designer chose to put the letters CP in larger type, nestled next to pedo bear.
Should have went with Captain Planet.
Fantastic.
But, I mean, somebody had to draw Pedo Bear.
You know what the best part about this advertisement is? Right underneath everything, in highlighted in black, it says, free pickup and delivery.
Oh.
Oh, man. Well, looks like this guy is in... Bob Dix is in trouble. Because of this.
This is why it helps to be up to date on things that happen on the internet. Like, what is this bear?
And again, this happened to be in Florida. So,
yeah, who's
surprised? Two Florida WTFs. Two Florida WTFs in one night.
Dude, if you go to FARC, you see that they have that Florida has its own little tag on FARC. And when you click a Florida tag, you can rest assured that there's going to be something fucked up on the other end of that link.
I don't know if any of you are familiar with Adam Carolla and his old show or his podcast. He has
Love Line?
Not Love Line, but his morning show or his podcast that he does now. He has a bit where it's a game called Germany or Florida, where they pick like fucked up news stories, and he has to guess if it came from Germany or Florida, because they are always the worst.
And it's usually Florida.
It's either weird one, but yeah, Germany or Florida is where all the depraved shit comes from.
Yeah, they're always fucked up. Like Japan will have some like really weird shit, but Florida has stuff like a guy just got arrested for desecrating a lawn chair for the third time. And yes, I actually read that one. He got arrested because his neighbors had called because he was having sex with their lawn furniture for the third time.
Love is love, man. Who are you to judge?
All right. Our last WTF news story of the night is our best one. A woman in Scranton... wherever Scranton is.
Pennsylvania.
Okay.
We all know this from The Office, I presume.
Exactly.
A woman in Scranton, Pennsylvania was arrested and was found to be hiding heroin, money, and loose change in her vagina.
Well, I'm assuming she's not getting any because it's like on a hot dog down a hallway.
Well,
you got that much room.
She was actually arrested initially for drug possession, and as she was being driven to police headquarters by the police, Officer Bauman noticed Miss Makaliunas, sounds Lithuanian, fidgeted in the back seat of her cruiser. After a struggle with Officer Bauman, a more thorough search at the headquarters, Miss Makaliunas asked to speak to Sergeant Michael Mayer and told him she had hidden more heroin in her vagina. A search of Miss Makaliunas, by a doctor at Community Medical Center, 54 bags of heroin, 31 bags used to package heroin, 8.5 prescription pills, and $51.22.
Wow. It's like something out of Doctor Who. She's bigger on the inside.
Your vagina is not a clown car.
No, I've heard plenty of stories. I was going to buy a purse,
but it's too expensive.
You know, it's not the heroin part that strikes me as odd. You know, you hear stories of people shoving cocaine, bags of cocaine and stuff in their ass or in their stomachs and stuff. But $51 and the loose change? 22 cents?
22 cents?
In case you needed to make a phone call or something? I don't know.
I mean, was
yeah,
that for emergency?
I don't know.
It's best
was that like emergency for emergency situations?
I'm gonna assume, go out on a limb here, that she had a $50 bill, a $1 bill, and then two dimes and two pennies, maybe.
Maybe I'm that hoping. Was that the sale that she was distributing to her to whoever it was, like the money she made off it.
Maybe she had to stop at the convenience store, and that was her change. And so she didn't have any place else to put it.
Why put the drug change in your vagina? It's not like, you know, police are
gonna... Yeah, the question is, where do you get 22 cents? What kind of cash transaction that you're doing illegally, you're going to be like, this bag of heroin here, it's going to be $10.12.
Sales tax.
She was only 27 years old.
Ooh,
an enterprising young woman right there. She's figured out all this at 27.
Hey, at least she knows if she gets out of jail, there's probably going to be a porn site one to pick her up. So she'll have a job after that.
VaginaWallet.xxx.
You could be some kinky porn courier service out of that, actually. Like you could set up a service like that using her as a courier to take packages to people.
That'll be to UPS. Like,
wonder how many thumb drives she can hold.
Oh god.
That's where we should hide its database.
In women's vaginas.
Yeah. In her vagina.
No one will think to look here.
Man, you have any idea how much data she could transport? I mean, with a 32 gig micro SD card?
Oh, boy.
You could store the internet in her vagina.
Well, I'm going to say at least.
broken down into thumb drives? Oh, yeah.
At least 83 SD cards. One in each bag.
The micro SD card. And then don't forget also the dollars and the change. A micro SD card's like the size of your pinky fingernail. Those things are tiny.
Tell you.
And that's 32 gigs a piece.
She will be able to have the internet in her vagina.
Of vagina storage.
The Wayback Machine, archive.org. it's found its new specimen for archiving the internet.
I don't use regular hard drive storage. I use vagina storage.
On that note, I think it's time to wrap it up. So, this was episode 23 of the Noisecast, and we would like to thank everybody who tuned in on the Ustream and listened live and gave us your feedback. And, of course, we'd like to thank everybody who participated, starting off with Gonzo Ryder.
The earth may be slow, but the oxen, my friend, are patient.
Kaiser Maghead.
Sobriety problem solved.
Yes.
When...
Benguin.
I'm still trying to figure out what the fuck Gonzo was talking about. Maybe an Oregon Trail or something? I don't know.
If you think too hard, you get malaria and you'll die and you won't make it.
I already died of dysentery. Thank you very much.
God damn it.
And lastly, Veto number 9.
BRB, backing up some vaginas.
And of course, you can find us at thenoisecast.com. where you could listen to all our episodes right there, as well as download them, and where we post some interesting news articles and topics for your enjoyment. Hit us up at Twitter, twitter.com/thenoisecast. And if you have any feedback, suggestions, comments, whatever, you could always email us via our contact form on our website. And also, speaking of the website real quick, a small request if you're still listening. Because of the recent spikes in bandwidth, our CPU, our server CPU has been throttling a lot, which means it's bad. And we might be getting one of those suspended notices if this continues. So if you go to the Noisecast and it's suspended, it's because we probably are flooding their website or their servers with bandwidth.
Too damn popular.
So that means we're going to be having to upgrade to a more expensive service, like a virtual private host or something server, which run a little bit more expensive than what we can afford right now. So we have implemented Google AdSense on the website, which we promise is not intrusive. It's tiny. It's in two spots, and you're barely going to notice them. But if you do browse the noisecast.com with ad blocker enabled and you want to support the site, it would be very, very generous of you to uncheck ad blocker just while you're on the Noisecast. We would appreciate that. And that would help keep the Noisecast alive just in case a suspension happens. So that's my spiel.
I'm sorry for being hilarious. No, I'm not.
You have nothing to apologize for.
Any last words before we close up from anybody?
Girl, I just realized I should have used the pun I could have made was back that ass up in terms of vagina. So,
late to the game.
This was the Noisecast.